strengthen each other, the body of Christ. And so that's going on today. So that it begs the question, and I'm sure you've seen it at in the last two bulletins, the end of the bulletin I never got to. And it said, what is my mission? What is my mission? Or for the sake of our baseball comparison, what is my position on the team? We talk about the missionary team. Oh, yeah, no, that's okay. And we liken it to a baseball team. And this might be the last week I do this, but when I was playing baseball, I basically played three positions. Pitcher, catcher, and third base. And those positions had nothing to do with my running ability, my catching ability, really, my hitting ability. It had mostly to do with my throwing ability. Because in every one of those positions, I didn't necessarily have to catch the ball. I just had to stop the ball and not let it get past me. The strength that I had as a baseball player was my arm. I had a good arm. So being a pretty chunky kid when I was 10, 11, 12, 13, you know, I could play catcher, but I could stop that ball from getting past me. But not only that, I could pick up the ball and throw out a runner that was trying to steal second base, maybe or third base. I had a good arm. Same was true as a pitcher, of course. A pitcher has to have a very strong arm, especially back in the little league days. They didn't usually pull a kid. They let him pitch the whole game. And so my arm was strong. And then, of course, third base. Third base in a baseball team, that's the farthest throw you're going to make usually, from third, in the infield at least, from third to first. And so my arm was my strength. That using my arm in that way was the way I benefited the team the most. It was the way we were able to stop the runners in the opposing team from progressing, whether I was pitching, catching, or playing third base. And again, by the time I was 14, I kind of had it dialed down to third base. That's what I played from 14 to 18 years old. But here's the point. My gifting was my throw. I could throw well. And it was a gifting. I wasn't a big kid, obviously. Look at me. I'm not a giant guy at all. But I had a good arm. And in the same way, all of us, the Bible says, have a gift. We have a gifting, a spiritual gifting. J. Vernon McGee calls it a spirituality. He says we oftentimes deal with carnalities, the outward appearance of a person, the things they do outwardly. But really the most important part for the body of Christ is the inward, the spiritualities, as he calls it. And so I thought I'd take a moment as we're trying to discover what is my mission, what is my position on the team. Well, I want you to take a few moments here to discover maybe what some of those giftings might be. Now, I know a lot of you have already discovered that. Maybe you've taken you filled out a paper that had 72 questions on it and to discover your giftings. Or maybe you just know what you enjoy doing, and in that way, you do it with your whole heart, and it's joyful for you, and that's your gifting. But if you've never done that, I want you to take the next 20 minutes or less to consider what gifting God has given you, whether you're 14, 15 years old, or you're 77 years old. It doesn't matter. We have giftings. Now, a lot of you have already used your giftings. And again, a gifting is supposed to be used for the strengthening of the body of Christ. A gifting is never meant for you to pitch a tent and charge $10 for people to come in the door and make money off the outward show of your gifting. That's never the intention. It's to build the body of Christ and to preach the gospel. Unfortunately, there are some in the body of Christ who have used a gifting to exploit the body of Christ and make a lot of money, and I don't think that pleases God in any way. Because as John said, these things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that by believing have life in his name. And again, these things are the miracles and the healings and things that occurred. So any gifting we have, again, it's for the strengthening of the body of Christ, just like me playing third base was the best contribution I could make to my team. In the same way, you, Tina Rasa, you, Michael, you, Jed, you, Steve, Bill, all of us have these giftings that we have been using or certainly can use further to strengthen the body of Christ and to preach the gospel. So we're going to look at some of those right now. We're going to be in, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's just read through it. And that's going to be the text for the rest of the day, the rest of the morning. So thank you, Lord, for giving us this time. Once again, Lord, thank you for Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke that went forth in your name to bear witness of you, Jesus, and to strengthen the churches. So bless us now, Lord, as we are the 21st century church, that we continue the work where you pass the torch to us. We want to carry it forth until you come again, Jesus, knowing that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, and we are the church, So God help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we go. Paul writing to the Corinthians, who are, again, always besieged and tempted by carnalities on every side, that you can everything you can imagine. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, Paul says, brothers, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And again, he was trying to quell and refute this idea that some people had been speaking in tongues and were saying that Jesus was accursed, that Jesus wasn't the Messiah. And so Paul is saying that can't be true. No one that's being led by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. Instead, they would praise the Lord Jesus Christ as being the Messiah. So this is how he starts out his letter. He's trying to correct the Corinthians in this practice. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. And by the way, this is a preview. This is a preview of what's going to happen in Acts chapter 18. Because Paul is going to be in Ephesus during Acts chapter 18, and he's going to write this letter to the Corinthians during that time. And so you're getting a preview that's been approved for all ages right now. You don't have to worry about anything I'm going to say that's going to be something that's not good for the eyes or the ears, which happens at the movies all the time. When you go to see a family movie, you get a garbage preview. But this is here. This is a good preview that's approved for all ages. So here we go, continuing. He says, verse 7, but the manifestation or the visible evidence of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. So again, Paul's listing the positions, shortstop, third base, second base, first base, right field, left field, center field, all these things. He's saying, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now here Paul's going to transition and talk about the body, the physical body. He's going to use it as a comparison to the church, the members of the church. Here he goes. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And again, just imagine, if all were the shortstop, where would the shortstop throw? There would be no first baseman. If there were no, you know, if all were the pitcher, well, who would catch the pitch? Again, liken it to baseball. We need all those positions in a baseball team. And then verse 19. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? I'm sorry, I skipped verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed, verse 20, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be the weaker are necessary. It makes me think about, again, the pastor that I love to quote and read, J. Vernon McGee, the pastor of the Church of the Open Door. He gave an exhortation, a talk to the graduates. I know there's a name for that, the commencement speech. Thank you. And after he gave the commencement speech, the president of the school said, well, that was really well done. He said, do you know what the most important part of your body was today? And J. Vernon McGee was thinking, well, he's going to tell me it was my tongue, because I gave such a great talk. He said, it was your big toes. Your big toes. Because if you didn't have your big toes today, you would have fell over. You couldn't have even stood up at the podium. And J. Vernon McGee was reminded, it was humbling for him, he said, but it was reminded how important those parts that we don't see are to the body and to the body of Christ. Oftentimes, as I shared last week, those people who are doing work for the body of Christ, sharing the gospel in places that we'll never even heard of or we'll never even meet these people, they're the ones, I think, one day that are going to be highly esteemed when we get to heaven. We'll never have read a magazine article about them. They were the members that were not seen, but yet they did the work of the church. They shared the gospel, and they strengthened the church. So praise the Lord. They did the work of an evangelist, and we'll never have read about them. So continuing on, I think I left off in verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that no division, no contention, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And I'll tell you, this has been so true this year, more than ever before. There have been some people in this body that are hurting. Man, like, I would never have imagined they were going through some things they're going through. And they confided in me. And I was shocked. I said, oh my God, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I don't even know how to pray for them, Lord. Give me some words for these people. And so when one member of the body hurts, the whole body hurts. And the Lord has convicted me and moved me many times this past year. When I was just settling down to write a sermon, the Lord would call me out to go minister his love to somebody else. And even though I was warring in my heart, thinking, Lord, this is my moment to sit. It's my first quiet time this week. I was looking forward to this. And the Lord would put in my heart, yes, but there's a greater work to do right now. And I'll take care of the sermon part. You just take care of the ministering part. Go do that, what I've called you to do. And then I've seen that there's some members in our body that have hurt like never before. And I thank you, all of you, who have stepped up to the plate to minister God's love to these people with no desire to be recognized or to receive a medal for the volunteer of the year. You don't have that in you. I'm so glad for that. You're doing your work as unto the Lord, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the reward of your inheritance. I'm so grateful for that. Continuing on. Now you are the body of Christ, verse 27, and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. And we're seeing this in the book of Acts, by the way, as we're going through this. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing. And certainly we see these things being attested to by Stephen, by Philip, by Peter, by Paul, by John, and all the rest. These miracles and things oftentimes will follow the presentation of the gospel, in a sense, to confirm these men who are bringing news. For as of yet, the New Testament had not been written. So these gifts of healing and miracles, they would recall Jesus' work on earth here also. And it would give them credence to say, well, these men represent the living Christ. They're doing these things just like Jesus did. So these are gifts that were poured out in abundance, certainly on the early church. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. I got lost there. Helps. And by the way, helps, I think, is the most common, awesome work in the church. When I think of helps, I think of things, those people who want to give of their talents, whether they're a carpenter, a baker, a sewer, an electrician, a plumber, whatever it is. Boy, the gift of helps is so needed in the church. And I'm very grateful for that. Again, willing to use your gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. Administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Is everybody the shortstop? No, the answer is no. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Well, we know the Cheneys do. The Cheneys working for Wycliffe Bible Translators. They have that gift of tongues. They can interpret. They can speak it. And again, we think of tongues oftentimes as being able to speak it in a language that wasn't learned by somebody proclaiming the gospel, and that's certainly true. The Bible speaks of tongues in some various ways as giving utterance when we don't even know what to say. But yet, I would also classify the gift of interpretation of tongues, like Wycliffe Bible Translators, in that category. That's a very practical way of using a gift that God's given, because not everybody can grasp linguistics and morphology and phonology. But there are some who love this work of translation and have a knack for speaking foreign languages. I would include them in that gift of tongues. Do all interpret, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I will show you a most excellent way. And again, Paul will go on to assert that all these gifts are nothing unless they're delivered with love. Paul will say, you're just a noisy, arrogant, loudmouth if you're doing these things without love. And I guess, I bet, Jed, Michael, you could think of a guy on baseball teams you've been on where they think the team couldn't function without them, that they're just the superstar of superstars, and they want to make sure they get the photo op and they get the ball, you know, as much as they could possibly get it, and they'll make a throw, then they'll do a little dance or whatever. But, you know, the body of Christ is not like that. The body of Christ, we do these things with humility for the furtherance of the gospel, for the benefit of the team, the church. We want to help each other, not out of obligation, but because we love each other. So it's a joy to us to do these things. It's not burdensome. I was with the guy yesterday for 3 hours, and man, he kept on saying, I know you're busy, I know you got stuff to do. But this guy was hurting, man. This guy was, I mean, I'm talking in a terrible way. And I had to tell him over and over again, man, this is where I want to be right now. I'm happy to be here. I love you. You're my brother. So please don't think that. This is not a burden for me. It's a great privilege for me to be here right now. And that's the attitude that we take as the body of Christ. Just like I said, man, first service, that was not a day I played baseball that I felt it was a job. It was so fun for me to play baseball. And I still associate it with the best times of my life. And the funny thing is, last week when, I don't know if you know Mila and Anna, they're from Kiev, from the Ukraine, and she had brought me some wheatgrass, freshly squeezed wheatgrass. And so I looked at it, and then I smelled it, and the smell of it was like the baseball field after it had been mowed. So, of course, I thought, wow, this makes me feel good. And then I drank it. It didn't make me feel so good initially, but it was refreshing, I'll say that. But I think the conclusion I came to was, I'd rather play on the grass than drink the grass. But I know it's good for me. I know it is. So praise God. She's got a gift of making things that are good for the body, and balms and lotions. And she offers them generously to us. And so I had to show her that I was willing to drink it right in front of her. And I did. And I actually, I did, you know, I did feel pretty good, I'll admit. But anyway, there you go. So finishing it up. Again, doing things with love is the key. Love is the key always. And again, Paul will go on to share in chapter 13 that the greatest gift is love. That's the one that is above all things. And as I mentioned before, some would say that the evidence of the Holy Spirit in a person is the speaking of tongues, unknown languages. I would gracefully disagree with them. I think the greatest manifestation is love for one another. The Bible teaches this is how they know you're my disciples, that you love one another. Again, not that you can quote every scripture or that you can cast out demons or devils, but that you love one another as I have loved you. So God help us to do that. So let's look for the little time we have, for the 10 minutes that we have left together. I thought we could explore a few of these giftings. And again, if this is something you've done before, then it's always good to have a little review. And we're just going to use a few of them that were mentioned in 1 Corinthians. But also, I will tell you that if you were to go to the letter of Paul to the Romans also, in the very same chapter, chapter 12, you would read also there's additional gifts than the ones I'm going to read. So I'm going to combine those gifts that were listed in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, and I'm also going to put a few out there that are also in Romans chapter 12. So easy to remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Romans chapter 12 contain a listing of the gifts. But I'll tell you this, it's not an exhaustive list. There are some that are not in here that we could say certainly are a gift. And we'll mention a couple of those, but let's just go through. And again, if you have a bulletin, you might have a little section in your bulletin. It has some blank lines in it. And if you like to fill in some lines, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that right now. And I did, again, borrow from one of my favorite pastors, Vernon McGee, and just the definition of what is a gifting. And again, you can call it a spirituality. You can call it a spiritual gifting. But for our sake, a gifting is a capacity for service. It is a function. It is the Holy Spirit doing a particular service through the believer and using the believer to do it. That's why it's often been said that the title of the book of Acts could well be called the Acts, instead of the Acts of the Apostles, it could be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. Because God is going to move through the Spirit in using the Apostles to do these amazing things. But certainly, it's the power is through the Holy Spirit. So, it is the manifestation or the visible evidence of the Spirit in our lives. And again, that was kind of a definition combined from J. Vernon McGee and Lewis Sperry Chafer. on the commentary on 1 Corinthians. But the truth is this, everybody has a gifting of the Spirit to build up the body of Christ. So what are some of these giftings of the Spirit? Or what are some of these spiritualities, as we'll call them? I'm going to give you the whole list first that I'm going to use today. And then we'll go through, and if we have time, we'll define a few of them. And then I want to also give time for that bottom section that says, how do I know which giftings I have? How do I know which position I want to play? You know? Again, being a thrower when I was younger, it would have been a waste of my abilities if they put me on first base. Because the primary job of the first baseman is to catch the ball that comes to him. He does throw once in a while, that's true. But for the most part, his gifting is catching. And so too, it's good for us to know, well, what are those things that God has given me that I actually enjoy using? So we'll get to that in 8 minutes or less. Here we go. Hold on tight. So here's the ones that, again, I don't even have enough lines there, but these are the ones that Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians. He says one of the gifts, the giftings, a gifting of called the word of knowledge. Then there's another gifting that oftentimes we don't think of as a gifting, but the Bible says it is, and that's faith. It's to receive faith is a gift. It's a gifting to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We think about it as something we conjure up, but that's not it at all. Again, faith is the means by which God has imparted grace to us.